This article is entitled Inner Flourishing, Five Ways to Elevate Your Spirituality. This article is entitled Inner Flourishing, Five Ways to Elevate Your Spirituality. It's written by Victor Perichin. Why do some people experience increasing joy and happiness while others become more anxious, stressed, and unhappy? The difference has to do with inner flourishing. Those who evolve into considerate, gracious humans have the innate ability to continuously elevate and deepen their lives. Here are five ways to elevate your spiritual health and in the process become a happier, more content person. Number one, prioritize spirituality. Think about how you can prioritize your spiritual health and growth. Commit to daily prayer. Spend time in silent meditation. Join a Bible study. Serve the poor in your community. Go on a pilgrimage. Author Linda Montanello wrote in U.S. Catholic, she says, "For many years I've traveled to Trappist, Kentucky to be a guest of the Cistercian monks for a week, or sometimes just for a weekend. The monks have taught me that we all need to spend time in silence with the Lord, no matter where we are. The monastery wall is not to keep out the world, but to provide a place of quiet. The cloistered religious, as professionals of asceticism and prayer, can teach us how we can better communicate with God." Number two, fertilize gratitude. Amid life's difficulties or complications, continue to find ways to appreciate the many good things in your life to ensure that you remain open and spacious and positive. Daniel Cozart, a retired religion professor, was struck on the head by a car while riding his bike on a country road in Pennsylvania. The accident left him a paraplegic and in chronic pain. While he was hospitalized, a psychiatrist asked him if he was angry or sad. Cozart's response, written in Lion's Roar, can guide any of us when unpleasant and unwelcome issues come into our lives. He says, "Was I angry? I thought about the woman who'd struck me. I thought she made an error in inattentiveness or poor judgment. But how many times had I driven with lapses of attention or speeding or worse? She, too, was in the accident, and I had no doubt it was hard on her. Stuff happens when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, I wasn't angry." He also said he wasn't sad, and he said, "I thought about how lucky I was to have survived it all. I felt fortunate to have been able to live with my full physical capacity for 57 years, longer than many human beings have in a complete lifespan. I was especially grateful not to have brain damage." Number three, cultivate solitude. The traditional spiritual discipline of solitude is defined by Merriam-Webster as the quality of state of being alone or remote from society. Jesus spent ample time in solitude and frequently encouraged his disciples to do the same. This from Mark 6, verse 31, "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." An important aspect of solitude is silence, listening to God or simply enjoying being in God's presence. It's strongly supported in scriptures, including from Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God," or from Lamentations 3, "Let him sit alone in silence," or from Psalm 37, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Number four, embrace change. Avoid remaining frozen in place. Be open to changing your mind, your direction, or your relationships that have run their course. Deanna Liu in Daughter of the Yellow River says, "Know when to move on. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances that work against our best interests. We no longer have the chance to grow or to perform to our capabilities, or when a situation is toxic to our emotions, body, mind, or spirit, then we should leave. Should you experience anxiety and fear when an unwelcome change enters your life, recall Jesus' comforting words from John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And finally, number 5, expand compassion. Mother Teresa urged, and I quote, "Have a great compassion for people, especially be kind, be loving to the poor. Do you want to do something beautiful for God? There's a person who needs you. This is your chance." An encounter with a dying patient led Nurse Sandra Clark to expand her compassion. One night during her initial rounds, the patient asked, "Will you stay with me?" And Clark responded, "Yes, as soon as I check on my other patients." More than 90 minutes passed as Clark checked vital signs and made assessments for the other 6 patients. When I returned, the man was dead. "No family, very old, end-stage multi-organ disease," she said. Now he was gone, and I felt awful. This life-changing moment sparked her compassion for those close to death. She started No One Dies Alone, a program of compassionate presence that provides dignity and respect for those in their final hours of life. Yes, our lives are busy, but there is still time for spiritual elevation and growth. Be mindful of this wisdom from Jesuit priest and author Henry Boland. Never say you have no time. On the whole, it is those who are busiest who can make time for yet more. What we lack is not time, but heart.